Ever pinch pennies all year for that one family vacation, only to feel the budget blues afterwards? If so, I was just like you. After three vacationless years, I stumbled on credit card rewards travel and cracked the code to amazing vacations that I could actually afford.
Welcome to Wonderland on Points. In this podcast, you will discover how opening credit cards strategically can save you thousands on travel. We're not just dreamers anymore. We're two adventurous moms turning dreams into reality. Join us as we spill all the points and miles secrets.
And contrary to popular belief, you don't have to spend $1 million to earn 1 million points. Traveling on credit card points isn't reserved for those with overflowing bank accounts. It's for everyday people like you and me, learning to turn routine expenses into free travel.
Consider us your points travel guides. This is Wonderland on Points. Let the adventure begin. Welcome back to Wonderland on Points. We're so happy that you are joining us. Today, we have a great episode on tap. We are talking to Ross from Itinerary Boss. He is the founder and CEO of Itinerary Boss. He's going to tell us more about what he does and who he helps. And he's going to tell us a lot about really maximizing your points earning with real estate transactions, with revamping your home, when you're buying new appliances and furniture, doing a whole little remodel, how you can really use that to your benefit and then travel on the other side of all that spend. It hurts to spend money sometimes, but it's really fun when you get the rewards on the other side. So Ross, thank you so much. Tell our listeners more about yourself, how long you've been traveling with points and miles. Tell us all that good stuff.
That introduction was great. You're making me feel a little bit more important than I am. No, but it's great to be on. I love learning from Mary Ellen as well as you, Joe. And it's listening to your podcast. It's always good just hearing some of those. So truly appreciate you putting out all the great content. But yeah, Ross Alcorn, I help business owners optimize their everyday spend through credit card points to then turning that into obviously what everyone listens in on. Luxury travel. Usually I'm working with some of those higher spenders who are spending, you know, over $500,000 a year. So they're definitely maximizing those. But for me, honestly, I started out as a PE teacher. So like that's
nice.
Wow.
I'm a former teacher too.
Substitute teacher. So let me, PE major. So, I went in, I wanted to be a, you know, PE teacher, and then I substitute taught and I was like, oh my gosh, this is a lot. There's 30 kids running around. I thought I could just go shoot basketball and have a good time, doing it. So the reason I say that is then I transitioned from that and moved into the sales field. So that's really how I got started in the points and miles space. I studied abroad my junior year in Ireland, and that really gave me that international travel bug. We traveled a lot domestically, took 2 trips to the Bahamas in high school, but from there, starting to get that bug, being in sales, right? I had a corporate card, didn't get the points on the card, but personally did, and then got to learn the ins and outs of all the hotel loyalty programs through that, and was a road warrior, traveled 4 or 5 times a week as a sales rep. And on the side, started planning all our group trips all over North America for our guys' snowboarding trips. We'd pick a destination in the West Coast. And then that parlayed into, well, why don't we go to Europe with 6 guys for 2.5 weeks? And so, I was the only smart one that, imagine trying to do that with like 25, 26-year-old guys. It was a lot. So I've learned a lot through that, made a lot of mistakes. But I was the only smart one who was actually like, hey, I'll buy our flights. I'll book our hotels.
Yes,
I'll get all the groceries, right? So like,
y'all just
that's where I started to learn, right? Started to stack a lot of points. Then everyone found out. Then you go to the grocery store and everyone's trying to slap their Amex gold down. So that's kind of how I got into all of this. And in 2020 is really when I went down the rabbit hole because I stopped traveling for work. And I was like, okay, I'm seeing everyone on Instagram flying in business class for this, and they're using these points. How are they doing this? And that's what got me into doing, you know, down the rabbit hole, really getting deeper. And I started my company 2 years ago. And just now it just realized the same questions were coming up, and business owners were the people where from a consulting standpoint, I can go in and really help. And that's my background. So that's what I really enjoy.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing how many times we've heard just on this podcast and then from friends in this space, how many businesses are, and business owners, small business owners even, are not utilizing their spend. I mean, I would give absolutely anything to have a pile of business spend that could be making me points. So, and even reimbursable travel for your work. Like my sister, I've mentioned this on the podcast before, I'm going to call her out again. My sister traveled for work a ton where she could have reimbursable flights, and she's not getting these sign-up bonuses from that spend either. So, I mean, you really, it's a great place to be is consulting businesses, because they just don't understand what they're leaving on the table. It makes all of us that have tiny, tiny businesses just a little angry.
Yes, 100%. I think that's where, you know, understanding that, but also showcasing for people who are just getting started out the importance of, even if you're spending a couple thousand dollars, like it's what's possible from here's, from over the years, what I was spending personally, it was little amounts of money, but how do you continue to, as you grow, if you spend more on your business, like how do you continue to just maximize that? So yeah. I think that's sometimes that shift in mindset of, well, I'm not spending that much, but it's like, well, you have a business and you probably spend personally, like you can double dip on, right, on having those points to use.
Absolutely.
Well, for today, we're going to get into another passion that you have or something you've learned a lot about, and that is real estate. People have rental properties these days. There's a lot to be had in the world of just spending on your own home, maybe having an Airbnb type property. It can be a real goldmine for the points game. So when did you start that realm of your, it seems like you have a lot of different interests and expertise in different areas. When did you get into the real estate side of things?
Yeah. So 14 years old, I started my own grass cutting and dog walking business. So I started to kind of see, so that's what gave me the entrepreneur spirit. And then when I was living in DC, I wanted to buy a house. DC is one of the most expensive places. So I was like, there's no way. So I had a bunch of friends who lived in Charlotte. My parents live in Raleigh. I decided, and someone mentioned when I was down here watching the national championship football game, this is how much we spent on this condo. And my jaw just dropped because I'm like, it's four times more expensive to live in DC.
Yes.
So I moved to Charlotte. And while I was doing that, I was like, okay, well, if I'm buying a townhome, I got to furnish it. So I actually went through Wayfair for my first property, signed up for the Chase Sapphire Reserve, got that welcome offer because I was spending, you know, enough to hit that. And that's really how I started to realize, hey, wait, you can utilize this for furniture, you know, expenses on, you know, on your home. And those are just, you know, things that you're going to have to pay for each month. So that did it, that on the welcome bonus, and then translated that to just, I had a Capital One venture, because Venture X wasn't out yet, and just had the venture where then I just moved everything that was that reoccurring bill just to get two times the points, keep it super simple. And that's just an everyday driver that when a lot of people ask, you know, what's a go-to card for it? That's a really good, easy card. And I know we can get into, there's some new ones out like the Mesa card, but that's one that I've used for, gosh, coming up on 10 years on a lot of stuff. And it's just super simple, get you those points. Then obviously you can transfer those.
Yeah, I think we're curious to know how many properties that you have right now, what's personal, what's rental. But I do, and we did not even put this in the questions that we prepared you with, but I would love you to speak a little bit to people who are interested in this, who might have the bug. But let's just at the top do a little bit of caution and wisdom when it comes to like the kind of person who is ready to invest in real estate, who's ready to be a landlord. What do you recommend in terms of realistically, you want to have this much of an emergency fund going into this? You want to make sure your finances are in this place, because I think a lot of people get stars in their eyes right now about landlording. I think it is all over TikTok. Like, this is just such an easy way, and it's an easy job. It's passive income. There is nothing passive, my friends, about being a landlord. It is problem after problem after problem. So do you realistically want to just have a bunch of debt, no emergency fund when you own a bunch of properties? No, you probably do not. So there's risk and there's wisdom. And I would love you to speak
on that for a minute. Who do you think is the ideal person that we're talking to here if we're talking about getting into this world?
Yeah, I love that you say that because it all is right. It's all being transparent. It isn't for the person who's 23 who just got out of college, right? I was 27 and I had been saving, right? Budgeting, investing, like felt comfortable enough. And yeah, I had plenty of emergency funds to, if anything were to happen. It was a personal property, so it wasn't a rental where, right, other people were in there. So I knew I was going to take good care of it. I did purchase the property brand new. I like to do that when we do it because personally, we like to put 5% down just because you get a conventional mortgage, you have extra cash that's liquid. I like to invest in other areas like the stock market, things like that. But I think for someone who's just getting started, it's make sure you just have, you know, I know a lot of people say 6 to 12 months emergency fund. Think what's best for you. Like, what do you feel comfortable? Where can you sleep at night? Because, you know, everyone's going to be completely different. There might be someone who says, I'm good. I have a high paying job. I know this is coming in. But if you lose that job, right, what do you have then to help? Mm. And exactly like you said, it's not all passive. It's not, hey, I just bought this. I'm gonna go kick back, drink, right, a drink on the beach. No, that's not it at all. There's a lot more people buying. There's a lot more competition. So just like anything, if you're a good operator, once you have a rental, you know, you're gonna stand out, but it's definitely not passive. It's just income that's going to come in and over time will build up from a cash flow standpoint.
Right.
So hopefully that's helpful. And I can provide more clarity if you want, but everyone's different when it comes to that type of advice.
For sure. I just think that I just think it's so important to caution people because a lot of people are like, well, I'll buy this house. I'll take out a mortgage on this house and then someone else will be paying the rent. It'll cover the mortgage. Someday I'll own it. I'll have this equity. I'm good to go. And a lot of people put themselves in that position without really thinking through, well, the next thing you know, like the HVAC dies and then you need this and you need that and you need a dishwasher. There's a flood in the basement that just happened in my house. And so I just think that we always like to provide caution and wisdom, even in the points and miles world, we're telling people to pay off their balances every month like that. So I just want to make sure we stay in that vein when we're talking about something that isn't a great opportunity, a great investment, a great way to do wealth building, a great way to earn points and miles, but just let's all stay clear-headed. Just like when it comes to choosing a new car, don't get shiny card syndrome.
Yeah.
Don't get I want to be a landlord syndrome, because there's a lot of myths out there about how glamorous it is, but it can be amazing. So talk to us about the properties that you currently own. We'd love to just get a little rundown on what you do there.
Yeah, no, I love how you broke that down too, because there is a lot of stuff, like you said, on TikTok, Instagram, and it is shiny object syndrome. When you get the bug, if you buy one property, then you want to continue to do it, but you have to step back and see like what fits your needs, right? Where are you at? So absolutely, always think about that first. And that's stuff that we did. So right now we have 5 properties, primary home that I live in, townhome that we purchased 2024. First property that I purchased was 2019. Second was 2021. Well, second raw piece of land was 2020. That's a 3/4 of an acre. That's kind of the build on the lake down the line, about 20 minutes south of Charlotte, Lake Wylie. And then townhome that me and a partner purchased that I lived in. All of these are house hacks, these first ones, 5% down. And then we purchased a 2-bed, 2-bath condo in 2023. So all within 15 minutes of Charlotte, and all one's a long-term rental. Two are medium-term rentals, where usually we have people in there from 3, 6, we've lucked out and had 12-month leases. And yeah, it's been really good. I think the medium-term route has been awesome. The nice part is I've seen kind of both sides of the coin, right? I furnished the property when I lived there, moved out from a long-term rental. That's been, you know, other than some recent things, that's been pretty easy to manage from vetting people on the front end. The second one lived there. It was already furnished. So when I moved out, we just had to get a few things. So that was easy. The third one bought as an investment property, and that had to do like all order all the furniture, have someone from Thumbtack come out and build it. You know, just getting it ready. We did a light rehab with cabinets, flooring. And that was learned a lot of stuff there and kind of realized, like you said on the front end, that was the realization of maybe the juice isn't worth the squeeze and going out and buying those. The house hacking route was nice. And like for us, we've moved more into the, you know, passive side of things because there's other people who can go out and do that. And then we can invest there and focus on our business. So there's always things to think about and you learn a lot on the way. But I think if you are house hacking and then you are, you know, it's already furnished, it's a lot easier, but
yeah,
like you said on the front end, it's it, you think it's that easy because, you know, you see, oh, you can make this much cut, and they've all, they're all doing great. But it's just, you learn some of those things definitely on the way. And the property that we furnished that we didn't live in was older. So there's costs associated with HVAC, which we, you know, which absolutely, we knew, but you have to think about those things going into it. And like,
yeah,
like you said on the front end, make sure you have that emergency fund or you have those funds or some sort of way to, if something does happen, vacancy, any of that, you can, you know, cover that. And
yeah,
you know, there are some good credit cards that can help you do that. But that's kind of the property portfolio and how that journey started.
Okay.
Let's talk about, you mentioned HVAC when, a second ago. For either people who are having rental properties or for the everyday homeowner, because I don't want to lose so many of our audience, you know, maybe you don't have rental properties, you're not interested in real estate, but you are maybe a homeowner, or even if you're a renter and you like to fancy up your house. One of the most frustrating things is when you need a contractor for something and they only want to be paid in cash, to know that there is like this huge expense and you're not going to get any points for it. You know, will just drive any of us travel, award travel enthusiasts crazy. So what is the play here? What strategies have worked for you to find a way to use credit cards for some of these people who traditionally prefer to be paid in cash?
Yeah, absolutely. And I can say from experience, I've made all the mistakes, right? Like I was the same way. I'm like, why don't they take this? What's the workaround? And then sometimes it was like, there was so much other stuff going on where I was like, you know what? I'm just going to pay them. It's not too much. But there's different softwares. If personally, it's called Plastique, PLSTIQ. It's actually some guys from Amex, who founded it, because yes, same thing. They were finding that challenge. So using that, you can set that up personally if you don't have an LLC, or even if it's not a rental property where you have a separate business. That's a great way to do it. For like, if you go painting, a lot of the times, like when we moved in here, you know, we wanted to paint it not just the painter's flat white. We wanted to have a new color. My wife obviously was the one, the brains behind that. I was like, yeah, it looks good. But yeah, so that, and then right, any sort of general contractors, a lot of the times too, you can ask, I always ask first and they may say, yeah, I can do it over PayPal. There's a 3% fee. That's totally fine. But if there's no way, that's the best option. I just had to do that, for a bigger expense. And yeah, it was cash or check and just Plastique, and it was simple and it went over. You get the 3% fee, but if you're, you know, listening to this podcast, I'm sure you're always trying to maximize points and you're trying to get 2, 3, 4, 5 plus times. So I look at that as I'm going to get way more value out of that when I'm, you know, flying business.
Absolutely. In general, that 3% fee is always worth it if you're hitting a sign-up bonus. Not necessarily the case if you're just getting a multiplier. So always do the math, guys. Don't just get excited about being able to put it on a card and spend an extra 3% there if it doesn't add up to the value that you think it does in the end. I'm interested. So you talked a little bit about like Wayfair and using the Venture to buy furniture and appliances and stuff like that. But for anybody who's outfitting a home or has to make a big purchase like that for a home, what other strategies can you give us for maximizing? Like, I guess I think I go to like every single shopping portal when I'm looking for a specific item to try to figure out what store can I buy this from that's going to give me the absolute most on top of a multiplier. Do you have any great strategies for stacking, figuring out which cards to use, any great alert systems that you use? Like, I know SaveWise is a good one that's come up recently. Yeah. It's kind of just sneaking up on us here that we're keeping our eyeballs on. So tell us how you do that.
Yeah, Rakuten was one way. save wise, like you said, that's been amazing because you can go in, and then now with also Rove, I think that's huge. I mean, if I can shop somewhere and then get Rove miles, you know, that's, and depending on right where I'm shopping. So yeah, I would say the ones that you mentioned, Savewise, Rakuten, and then just seeing, and also thinking through like time of year too, because you're going to get a lot of those, you know, Memorial Day, Labor Day, Black Friday sales. So like, if you do have to buy stuff, thinking through that, thinking through, you know, if you don't want to open a new card, or if you are opening a new card, like what does that look like? Like, you know, if you're trying to get a big welcome bonus and you're, you know, spending, let's just say $5,000 on appliances or furniture, look at those, time it right, and then you can start to stack welcome offers, you know, points, whether that's on Rove, say, you know, any airlines. It just kind of depends on that deal. That's how I always think through it. Unfortunately, Savewise wasn't around when I was buying a lot of these. And but now, like, if I'm thinking through any of that, like, my process is always, I mean, I have those in my bookmarks, right, where I can just go click those. Right. That's the first thing I go to.
Have you had any great stacks on like an appliance or a purchase that you can think of that you remember thinking like, this was amazing? I got this multiplier. I got this cashback through this portal. I got this 11% rebate from Menards. Like anything like that that stands out?
When we bought this house, we were using the Chase Freedom Unlimited because we had just gotten engaged. We were planning a wedding and we just bought a house all within like 60 days. And I was thinking, I don't feel like coming up with all that cash at the moment. So let's get a 0% interest card that'll give us 15 months to slowly pay off. So that was probably one of the more strategic moves. And then we paired that right with our preferred and reserve to then, and then the business cards and compiling those points.
Yeah, there's so many great business cards. We're going to get into some in a little bit, but there are so many that have a high minimum spend for regular everyday purchases. But man, if you can capitalize when you need to buy some new appliances and hit one of those high minimum spends, it's really exciting because the business credit card offers are just huge. The sign-up bonuses are massive. You mentioned something earlier. You just mentioned it barely, but it's not something we've talked a lot about on this podcast. And we do want to do a full deep dive episode in the future. That's definitely on our radar later this fall. There is actually a card. It's relatively new, our program Mesa. It is for homeowners who want to pay mortgage payments and get points for it, because there traditionally has not really been a way to earn points and miles on mortgage payments. It's been, you know, everybody over at Built was all excited for years. They got to do their rental. You know, if you were in a rental property, you could earn points paying your rent each month. But homeowners were like, oh, but what about us paying a mortgage? So it sounds like you do use Mesa. Is that right?
So we are actually applying for it. My wife is. So I can stay under 524. We kind of have a strategy baked out for the next. I always like to look at it in years and like quarters and business and personal, right? So she's applying for that. But I actually had Kelly, the CEO, on my podcast a couple weeks ago. We did kind of a deep dive into it because most of my audience, right, are homeowners. They're starting to have kids.
Yes.
I'm starting to hear how much daycare costs. And I'm like, okay, we need to talk through this, right? And and a lot of people shop at Costco. And Amex isn't accepted at Costco. You know, you can, if you want to use your Freedom Unlimited or your, you know, Capital One Venture X to get two times. But what I like about Mesa is they also get two times the points at Costco because it is Visa. And you get a $65 credit back. So like that pays for your membership. And if you're an executive platinum where you're paying $120, I mean, if you spend enough, you usually get a check back.
Yes, you do. Everybody should do that because most people are at least recouping that $60 on that 2% back.
You'll laugh. Hey, I'm literally, got this in the mail.
He's holding right now, guys.
I went to Costco at 9 a.m. yesterday and I was just walking through in the silence like, oh, I love this executive membership. Nobody else gets to come until 10. Highly recommend. Sorry to derail there. Keep going.
No, I love it. You're not waiting outside tailgating 15 minutes for them to lift the right and see how fast you can get in and out to beat everyone. Trust me, we're the exact same right there.
100%. Oh, that's amazing. I feel like you were in the middle of answering a question and I like derailed us
with
that.
I was just asking about the Mesa. You were just starting to tell us why you were going to get the Mesa card.
Yeah. So I think those things, so I mean, Costco, obviously we all have a shared passion there, but being able to do any sort of home renovations, home decor, like they're doing a really good job of building out something for the homeowner who, whether you're a points and miles enthusiast or whether you just want a simple everyday card, and then being able to transfer those points, I think is huge. They have very good transfer partners like Air Canada, as well as Cathay Pacific. And I know there's a couple others, Thai Airways, Air India, and then they're adding on more. I was trying to get it out of Kelly, who's next, because obviously I'm chomping at the bit to see how can I, right, use these as we plan this out. It's definitely a great card, and you can earn 1x the points on your mortgage up to 100,000 points a year. If your mortgage is around maximum 8,000, that's probably going to cap you out. What they're doing on the back end, and he can get more into this, I'm happy to connect you all, but they're doing where you, if you refinance, if you do a home equity line of credit, if you do your loan with them, you can get up to 1,000,000 points on that loan. So that's right. So if you have, let's just say $400,000 house, that's potentially 400,000 points on top of other things. There's also an elevated welcome offer right now where if you get the card, you refer to friends and then you spend $10,000 in 90 days, you can get 50,000 Mesa points for that. And then you're getting 5,000 for each referral. So you get up to 60,000 Mesa points. So a lot of, if you're a homeowner, you're spending a lot on daycare and Costco and home decor, and you have a big project coming up and you have the cash, and there's zero annual fee. So it's like there's thumbtack, there's $200 thumbtack credits. If you're a dog person, you like to give your dog healthy food, farmer's dog, $120 credit. I think it's a good card. Obviously I've dove deep into it because we weren't around for the built card. The built card was after we had purchased. So I haven't gotten to take advantage of it. So when you said those homeowners who were itching for that to come out, I was that exact person.
Yeah. I mean, guys, I'm the one renter still remaining over here because we're locked into the most amazing rental rate ever. But someday, I am curious to see though. I think Mesa coming on the scene pushed Built a little bit more because they've been talking about, you're going to be able to pay your mortgage, but it hasn't really happened. And I just want everybody to know that it has now been announced that there will be a session at the Travelmore conference coming up here in a couple weeks. I actually don't know when this episode's releasing. Maybe it's happening right now as you're listening. Who knows? But Richard from Built is giving a full hour-long session, and I imagine we'll be getting some really interesting, potentially insider information during that. So Built might be sneaking up on Mesa as well. It'll be really interesting.
I hope so. I like the competition.
Yeah.
I love it. It fuels them to do more
for us.
Good. I saw they're coming out with three different cards, so I'm very interested. Unfortunately, I can't make TravelmoreCon. I had already made a commitment for those same dates for another conference or I would have, I know.
So you obviously are a business owner, and I guess we didn't specify specifically, you said you have short-term rentals, so that in my head, that's always Airbnb. I guess you don't necessarily have to use the Airbnb platform for short-term rentals, but either way, no matter what platform you're using, what do you want to say to people about keeping personal and rental property expenses separate? Do you separate by card, one card per property, or do you do all business on one card and personal only on another? Talk to us about the separation of those two things.
Yeah, absolutely. So I keep everything separate, right? Nice and clean, makes your CPA very happy, makes your life a lot easier at the end of the year. Tracking is super simple. So yeah, each property has its own card that goes along with that. We do mainly medium terms, whether it's on Airbnb, whether it's on Furnished Finder, Zillow, all the platforms. But yeah, one card for those properties, and then each of those expenses goes on those. For the personal side of things, we just, you know, we have a combined card that my wife and I use. And just, but once, you know, if we turn that into a rental and we have that, you know, we'd have a business card for that. And even if you don't have an LLC and you're a sole proprietor and you want to have, say you just live in a house and you move out and you want to Airbnb it and you don't get to formulate an LLC, you still can go apply for that business card with your social and get, you know, get approved for that. I personally just like keeping everything separated, having it in that LLC just from a liability standpoint. So yeah, we keep everything separated. And then the best part about that is if you are creating those LLCs, you can get multiple business cards. And you can write, and for each of those, you can get different ones. And that's where you can start to really start to get those bigger welcome offers and then earn more and more points. Because then you're thinking of five properties, personal spend, and the travel company that I have.
Right.
Like, that's where it starts to get fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And all of those, I think people don't realize how easy it is to make an LLC and really how cheap it is as well. Like, it's actually not, it's, yeah. You can pretty much just go online and knock it out. It's, I think maybe $50 is how much I remember spending. So
depends on your state. Depends on your state, yes. For sure.
Well, I'm in Missouri, guys. So
it's cheaper in Missouri. I can tell you that.
It is cheaper in Missouri. We did research which state our LLC should be in. So, yeah, I just wanted to throw that out there for people considering that it's not this big legal scary process that people think it is.
What mistakes have you seen new investors trying to use credit cards with their real estate or properties? Are there any mistakes that you've seen that you can kind of warn people against?
Yeah, for sure. I think it's common, like what you said, is paying off the cards on time. Some people, you know, I was talking to someone the other day where like, oh, I have all these different dates and like I've missed payments and gotten interest on those. So I think it's first and foremost, like, just going back to the basics of making sure you have it on auto pay, you know, you're paying off that balance on time. And if you have multiple properties, the first thing you should be doing from an organizational standpoint is reaching out to the bank and trying to get all of those state, you know, all those due dates on the same or around the same date. So you're not having to do those mental gymnastics of, great, I have it on the 11th and I have it on the 18th and the 25th, right? Just make it super easy. And yeah, and put on, you know, auto pay and just setting yourself up right off the bat is the best thing. And if you start to have multiple things, whether that's loans, HELOCs, whatever that may be, Monarch Money is a great platform that you can track all of that in there. So that just getting set up from the start is really important. I think also too, not hitting welcome offers. That's like, it's kind of common sense, but like, oh, I got this. So like, I didn't have a credit card for one of my properties because I was like, I don't have enough point. Like, I'm going to wait until I have something that, and it took, you know, 6 months, but then I was like, okay, cool. I'm going to go get an Amex Blue because that's a smaller, you know, minimum spend over 3 months, but I can hit that. It's more attainable. Yes. So I think always thinking through, don't just go grab the Amex Platinum because it's shiny and they send it to you in the mail and they're like 200,000 points. Are you going to spend 20 grand in the next 3 months? So I think it's thinking through what does your budget look like, planning that out, mapping that out, and just working within that. So that's probably the biggest mistakes I see on top of the things that we talked about at the beginning of different, not using, you know, paying contractors by, you know, ACH debit. And that happens across the board. People who are developers, flippers, people who are spending hundreds of thousands of millions of dollars. That's where I've come in and really help understand. And yeah, it's kind of crazy. Sometimes we're showing that we're getting people like 5-10 million plus points off just those simple shifts.
Wow. That's massive. I want to stack on top of this really quick when we're talking about mistakes that can be made. This sparked a memory of something that one of our, someone we've had on the show a couple times now, people will remember Cammie, the travel journalist, but they also get into the property side of things. And she was telling us on one of the episodes where we had her on that she got denied for her very first card. And they've been in this game a long time. They've got business and personal spend, and she wasn't sure why. Well, she came back to let me know know that they had had a home equity line of credit that had expired. It had like reached its 10-year point and it closed. It was nowhere on their radar. But what that did is it completely shifted their credit history, because a really long line of credit that really changed their average suddenly closed, went away, was nowhere on their credit report anymore. And then all of a sudden, they had a lot of these newer, more recently opened lines of credit, credit cards, whatever, that made their average age of their credit lower and led to them being denied for the first time ever. So obviously, there's a little bit of a difference in business and personal and which things hit your score and which don't. But you need to be aware as you're getting into this world of like how much those lines of credit and all those different things do affect your length of credit history. A lot of people don't even know it's an average.
I just learned something new. I know about the average, but that closing out at 10 years, because I have one that's a 10 year and I'm on year 5, 6. So yeah, that's good to know.
Yeah. Something to keep your, I mean, when she said it, I was like, well, this doesn't really apply to me. I'm not sure who this applies to. And now how, here we are.
It applies to
some people clearly. So this was the perfect time to bring it up for sure. I feel like as we're starting to get towards the end of this here, if somebody was interested in doing this, they wanted to go buy their first property. They also wanted to leverage credit card points. What is the first step that you would recommend for somebody?
I think it's just figure out what your budget is, you know, where, what do you feel comfortable with? You know, and then from there, understanding, okay, what welcome offers are there and how does that fit into my lifestyle, right? It's always doing what's best for you, because someone who might be single, who has a, you know, a ton of income might be like, oh, cool, I can go get this card. But if you're like, hey, I'm trying to buy a home and I'm trying to budget here and I just want to get a welcome bonus to go on one domestic trip with my fiance, wife, friends, whatever that may be. If you have a family of four, that's going to look different. So I think always just thinking through like what works best for me. And like we talked about earlier, not getting shiny card, not getting shiny object syndrome, but just if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably learning best tricks from Mary Ellen and Joe. So just continue to listen to this podcast, right? There's so many people out there who provide a lot of value. And just focus on what works best for you. That's always my piece of advice to really anyone getting into this space. And don't have, you know, make sure your financial, you know, foundation is in order. If you have, you know, any sort of bad debt, if you have a problem with spending, any of that type of stuff, you know, focus on that first before, because it negates, right? It's going to X one another out. The points aren't going to be worth it. So that's always getting those foundations in place. And I have people who I talked to and they're like, hey, I had a bad spending habit. Like, I don't want to do this. It's just from a self, you know, self just awareness standpoint, that's what's best for me. So it isn't for me. That's totally fine.
Yes.
So yeah. And I actually met a woman out at FinCon last week, as we're recording this, early September. And she is a financial therapist and focuses in like financial trauma. And I was like, I want to bring her on the podcast. Cause a lot of the times
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah. She sat next to me. We were going through how to land the best first 3 minutes and in the last 3 minutes of your podcast, like best tips. And she sat next to me. We just started talking about stuff. I'm like, you would be a perfect guest because personally, outside of the business owners who, right, they're already spending the money, a lot of people, you know, were just told, and, you know, sometimes it's right, credit cards are bad.
You're preaching to the choir here.
Yeah. So it's, you know, and it's not like, so it isn't really selling people. It's just providing people that, hey, look, like if you have these past mistakes, any of this, right? If your family had the bad spending habits, this, you've seen this, that. You know, providing people with that pathway of like, it's okay if you're starting to do the right things, or if you have done the right things and someone else had bad mistakes, like you can reward yourself. But I think it's cool to, cause she's seen all of those different, you know, all those different examples and worked with those people. So yeah, I was just like, hey, come on the podcast.
Yeah, yes, love
absolutely.
That.
You could feel free to pass her contact along as well. I have plenty of financial trauma that I need to talk to, talk through, you know. Let's just bring her on to therapize me. People can change, guys. People that had horrible credit and bad spending habits and a lot of financial illiteracy can, in fact, flip their whole life around. I am living proof. It just took a little while. My young 20s are not a time that we like to relive. It's fine.
It's fine. Part of the past. Okay, let's talk about something fun with all of these points that you're earning with your rental properties and with the points that all the business owners that you're helping. Tell us about some really cool redemptions, either redemptions maybe that you've gotten for people, but personal redemptions that you've had with some of the points you've earned. We want to hear, we love inspiration, travel inspiration for others. So give us something that we can look forward to maybe planning for ourselves one day.
Yeah, absolutely. So we did our honeymoon this past April. And with all of those, we were planning up a lot. We went to Thailand and Bali and we flew Qatar Q Suites there. And then back, we had one seat and we swapped half and half. So that was by far.
That's awesome.
That is a nice little new marriage compromise. So someone got to be in business and someone had to be in economy and y'all switched. Is that what you
premium
said?
Economy. So we had the first seat in premium economy, extra leg room. It was most of them were my points, but you can't be.
It's us now. Once you're married, it's us. There is no my.
No, I know. That was pre.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's fun though.
But no, so that was awesome. When we were in Bali, we stayed in all the Alilas, which was if you go to Bali, make sure you stay in those. Those were absolutely amazing. And then, a lot of our domestic travel is all paid for. So if you're not doing something super inspirational, like, 40,000 points for $1,800 worth of flights has been really nice. And just planning our wedding, we were doing our hotel block at the Kempton in Charlotte. I know you guys you both had someone on talking about ISG and Grand Cayman. So we're going down with that 5 free night welcome offer that we got. We strategically mapped that out to use those 5 free nights in Grand Cayman after we hit that bonus, but then also for the rehearsal dinner for the suite. And all of that used it and was getting 26 times the points. So we had like 110,000 points after. And then with that IHG 100% welcome bonus, I was like, screw it. I'm going to buy 40,000 points, get 80. Now, when we're at the Hotel Indigo, I'll probably spend, $1,000 on food and drink, knowing how expensive it was when the guests came on.
True.
So then I'll be at that 210,000, which that'll get me three nights at the Kempton. Having the IHG card, using that Platinum Elite. So like that's something just from like strategically planning wedding stuff. And that's where if you are planning a wedding, like it's super expensive. So make sure you are paying cash, and they do take a 3% fee. Honestly, that's where it's worth it. Cause I know, that's a $4,000 trip that we're just going on because, and then we're doing our, next week I'll have an Ink Preferred bonus that's going to hit, and then we're going to South Africa in April. So flying business there and back. Yeah. So that's and then we got maybe a wedding in Portugal next fall. We're waiting on our friends. So
many fun things.
Yes. So the Amex Platinum bonus going to use that to get us there, and hopefully
there you go.
Have enough to get us back. Yeah. So it's a lot of inspiration.
Lord that's willing, amazing. Hopefully. Joanna and I are also going to Grand Cayman in April. We have booked a trip. We're hopefully going, and I'm hopefully going back to South Africa this coming year as well. So those destinations, I love them. Love those destination ideas. We're on the same track right now. Different hotels probably. We're not doing the IHG, the Kempton, but it's going to be great. We're excited.
We're doing the Hotel Indigo.
Oh, which is next door, right? Okay.
Yeah, I think it's next door. It's like 20,000. You can use the free nights. It's under that 60,000 cap.
There's a brand new Hyatt coming online. You can only get reservations starting April 1st, and we're going right after that. So we're going to check it out and report back to everybody what that brand new space looks like.
Yes.
I saw that. Yeah, I saw that, and I saw the one, and we love Turks and Caicos, but it's hard to get. So they have that new Hyatt coming next year. So I'm like, it's a lot easier. It's 3 hours from us in Charlotte. So that's a 4 or 5 day trip direct on
America. Yeah, that's not bad. I think we might even be connecting through Charlotte for at least one leg of our trip, maybe. I have a squirrel question. squirrel ADHD distracted squirrel question that I wanted to ask off the top, but I didn't want to derail us from the beginning. But now that we're in the derail zone, you mentioned going to a national championship game. I think you said in Charlotte. What national championship was that? What is your team?
No,
were you
talking
about basketball? You mentioned a national championship game, football game. Maybe it wasn't in Charlotte.
I was watching. Sorry, I was watching it at a bar in Charlotte.
Okay.
It was Clemson. It was when Clemson beat Alabama. But no, we didn't go.
And who was your team? I should have asked this off the top so that I could kick you off the podcast if you had the wrong answer.
It's Wake Forest. They're not good. So
hopefully you're going for Clemson.
Yeah, I was. I have a lot of friends who are Clemson fans. One of my best friends married a girl from Clemson, and I went to a small school.
Girls.
Club football team.
Mary Ellen and her Clemson loyalty till death. You always know where she went.
I hear the word national championship and someone's in the Charlotte area. I'm like, there's a good chance we're talking about Clemson here. So
we're going to a wedding Saturday where the bride is Alabama, the groom is Clemson. So it's
that's fun. That's really fun. Yeah, we had a couple good years there, but both us and Alabama are not having such a great year now. So we'll see what happens. Well, thank you.
My eyes glaze over.
I know. We've lost Joanna now. She can't handle the sports talk. but I appreciate it. And I also, this is another squirrel moment, but we're talking about all this real estate in Charlotte. I would be remiss if I did not mention my favorite real estate agent in Charlotte, and that is Katie Wright. So if you are in the Charlotte area looking for a home, look up Katie Wright. She's fantastic. One of the most fabulous people that I've ever known in my life. So look her up.
Just dropping names right here.
Name
you know,
dropping.
This is actually a good ending place though, because before we have you tell us where you can find us online, do you have people that our listeners should follow who you feel like give some great real estate advice, really wise, good, you know, good Instagram accounts in this space to kind of get people started?
Yeah, Bigger Pockets is really good. There's actually a podcast. So I listened to Bigger Pockets when I first got started, but they actually have another podcast through Bigger Pockets called Real Estate Rookie. And they break down everything very simply. They bring on people who have done it, maybe have one property, kind of tell their story. I'm actually going on there in October to do two segments, one on real estate and one on points and miles, because they haven't really had anyone in that space do it, but it's not me promoting myself to go listen to it. It's I literally listened to them for like 5 years and got to meet the host, Tony at Robinson. He's a good person to follow too, out at FinCon last week, and it just made sense. And they truly have helped us build out just a small portfolio. So that would be that's a good podcast to follow, good people to follow. And yeah, from there you can go down the rabbit hole of who you like and what you want to do.
That's perfect. I will link that all up in the show notes for you guys.
And where can everybody find you online and in the podcast world?
Yeah. So all my socials are Itinerary Boss, super simple. And then our podcast is World Travel Made Easy. And that's on Spotify, YouTube, Apple. Just keep it simple.
Amazing. Amazing. Website as well?
Yep. Everything's just Itinerary Boss and then .com, obviously, for the
Beautiful.
Website.
Okay, I will link everything in the show notes for that as well. Thank you so much for coming on today and telling all of our listeners all of this. Obviously, this is a very new thing that we're exploring here on the podcast. So hopefully everyone found it interesting. I'm going to recommend that everybody visit the show notes, follow you in all the places. And of course, if we have any business owners here, Ross is the expert. He's the boss. I thought Ross, the itinerary boss, had a pretty nice ring to it. I don't know if that was on purpose. But it sounds great.
It's an inside joke where I'm making fun of myself. My friends used to make fun of me because before ChatGPT, I would, be just like, hey, what do I have to do today? And then I planned all our trips and they're just like, all right, so what's on the itinerary? That just became a saying. And then when I was younger, Ross the boss, Ross boss. When Rick Ross came out, Rick Ross the boss, it just caught. So I was like, well, what's kind of catchy? Let's go with that. And it's worked.
It's perfect. It's flawless. It has a nice, it feels like you should have a little jingle, Ross, the itinerary boss jingle at the beginning of your podcast or something. So if you don't already, there you go. You can have that one for free. I will not trademark that idea.
I love it. I love it. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for joining us today and giving us your very valuable time. We really appreciate you.
Yeah. Thanks so much for having me. Keep up the great work. And yeah, everyone just continue listening to Mary Ellen and Joe. They provide awesome tips.
Thank you so much for saying that. That is so nice.
If you enjoyed this show today, please consider writing us a review or clicking 5 stars wherever you listen to your podcasts. And please subscribe and follow along so that you never miss an episode.
You can follow the podcast on Instagram or YouTube at Wonderland on Points Podcast. You can find me on Instagram at Family Travel for the Win with the number 4.
And you can find me on Instagram at Points to Wonderland.
If you're thinking about getting a new travel rewards credit card, consider using the links in our show notes. Using our links helps to support us and keep our podcast going so we can provide you with all the latest tips and tricks when it comes to traveling on points.
And if you aren't sure which card is right for you, shoot us an email at wonderlandonpoints@gmail.com. Thank you so much for joining us, and we will see you here next time.